Great. Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to our regulars and welcome to our new folks. Glad to have everyone on this call. And we are really excited today because we have Angela Bellin, Master Education, Max Interpersonal Career Coaching Consultant, Intervention Specialist, and Behavior Analyst, who will chat with us today about the Max program. Since 2013, Max has been supporting young adults with social cognitive barriers in Columbus, Ohio, into self-sufficiency through competitive employment and interpersonal skill development. During this call, you will learn about the Max method, a unique service delivery model, and how to implement Max interpersonal career coaching in your community. And we are really excited to have Angela. And just a little housekeeping, as I think her talk will go about 15, 20 minutes. And Angela, do you want questions or would you like folks to have questions in the chat box and we'll ask them at the end?
Go ahead and ask, chat box your questions as you have them, because I don't want someone to think something and then forget. And then if Stacy, if you could read them to me when it's over, or if someone could read them to me when it's over, we can go back and answer them, that'd be great.
Perfect. Thank you. So please help me warm welcome for Angela.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me. It's nice to see everyone. This is my first time sharing a presentation on NJHSA. So you tell me, can you see me?
Yes.
Can you see the presentation?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
And then I thought if we had any time at the end, it'd be nice if Aaron could just tell us a little bit about JDAD and what happened.
So what slide are you looking at right now? We're having a little technical difficulty.
Good Family Services, a rich history of changing lives. On the left side, we can see all the slides, if you want to just put it like from the beginning.
Yes, that is what I was trying to do, but we seem to have it shared on more than one, in more than one situation here. How about now? What are you looking
that's,
at?
That's what you want us to see with the next slide coming up, Angela. This is what you want.
Yeah, good.
Okay, we're in the right place. Okay, so I'm not necessarily certain you guys are going to be following along on here, but you can definitely follow along on here and in the binder. Yeah. Okay, so what makes a person employable? Well, the U.S. Department of Labor did some research several years back and about what makes a person employable. So, hey, nothing's working on my side. Hang on one second.
Okay.
Luckily, I've got my, we're gonna stop share that. Then we're going to stop all these. I appreciate you guys bearing with me. Okay. Now I can't find the PowerPoint.
It was working so perfectly when we tried.
I know it was. And then it keeps reverting back to these old. So if you just bear with me for a moment, friends.
It'll be worth it.
I think so. Yeah, that's the one we want.
Maybe in the meantime, who is someone who hasn't been on this call before? I'm not sure Lydia has been on this call. Have you? I mean, have you been on the call? Lydia?
Otherwise, Sandy raised her hand. You maybe want to take a minute, Sandy, and introduce yourself.
Terrific.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, welcome.
I don't know how to use Zoom. They just installed it for me, so it's a first in many different areas. So I work at Cumming Center. It's a senior center. It's a very unique kind of community center that encompasses volunteer opportunities, programs, continual education, and a social service pillar. So I'm a supervisor at the intake services, and I also supervise some of the case managers. And I've been asked to really, I think, bring the disabilities inclusion portfolio to another, you know, its next level.
Great, thank you, welcome. Who and else hopefully is new that we haven't met yet? Oh, are we, Okay, Angela, we see the
do we see it?
Slideshow again.
That's a good thing.
Okay.
We're not moving though. We can see it, but we're not moving. That's okay. Let's just go this way. Now, can you see it?
Yes.
Okay. So what makes a person employable? The U.S. Department of Labor did some research a few years ago on what makes a person employable. 10% of that amount is job skills. Not surprisingly to those of us in the field, 90% of what makes a person employable is interpersonally related. So we've got image and appearance, communication, attitude, makes up 40%. So in 2018, the World Economic Forum did some research on this subject also, and they wanted to know what top 10 skills CEOs were interested in from their employees. And so we had problem solving, critical thinking, creativity. These are all higher level kind of social thinking concepts. And you know, what we used to call soft skills in the industry are really more what we're looking at now as hard skills that can be taught and can be practiced. And so that's kind of what we were thinking of when we started this MAX program. So there's three phases that I'm going to take you through to the development. Lisa explained how we started in 2013, and we had a really generous donation from a member of the Jewish community who has a child who suffers from, kind of social cognitive barriers, maybe missed the diagnostic point for being on the autism spectrum, but still all the same has those troubles fitting into the workforce. And so the family said, well, if this is happening to us, then this is happening to other people. So our goal was to help young adults in the Jewish community that have like what we're calling social cognitive barriers. We don't play specific to diagnostics. Some of my clients have executive functioning disorder diagnostics, some have mental health diagnostics, some are on the autism spectrum. What we are really based on is an applied behavior model that targets skills. It's very skill-based. It's 52 interpersonal skills and 15 interventions. And so we built this program that combines PBIS, social thinking concepts and instruction, applied behavior analysis. And then we grew the program after a few years to incorporate clinical counseling and trauma-informed care because we started serving youth emancipating foster care with this same MAX method. So that takes us to the next phase of program development. Are you guys seeing the slides change?
Yes.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. So we're talking about how we developed this program and what we developed it to do. The point is to develop the skills in communication, problem solving, empathy, friendship, emotional awareness, and self-regulation that not only allow a person to get a job, but keep a job. What happens 3 months down the road if you have a supervisor change or your shift changes? Or how do you not just get the job, but keep the job? And so we've developed, So we've developed 6 different modules that we work through to get this individual into self-sufficiency. We have a career module, we have a wellness module, virtual, social, and living. And all of those work within a natural environment. So we take those 52 behavior targets and the 15 interventions, and we take them into a natural environment setting, whether it's career, finance, wellness, virtual, or social. And we really target learning those skills, those no longer thinking about them as soft skills, but now hard skills that we can learn, apply, and practice. And we do it within a natural environment. So in career, we've got people who are in job search, interviewing, internships. Once they get a job, we've got, an intentional retention curriculum because we want to keep the job. Finance, this is about people who are living on their own maybe for the first time or just starting to take responsibility for some of their bills. How much does it cost to keep a roof over your head and feed yourself? We've got a wellness module. We've got, which really my office is across the street at the JCC on Fridays, and I meet with clients. And it's not just about health and wellness. It's also about really developing that character flexibility and those problem-solving traits, and me being able to target some of those emotional regulation skills that maybe I couldn't target as effectively in a workshop or in a career setting, or certainly not on the job. I mean, that's not your training time. That's not the time to be learning it. And so I said, like I said, it takes about 24 months. The program was normed for a 24-month service delivery. It takes me about a month, a good 6 weeks, to do an assessment on a client. Because we've got the Myers-Briggs that we go through. We've got a learning styles inventory that we go through. But I need to see those 52 behaviors in a natural environment. I need to see if you're making friends. I need to see if you're greeting your friends when they come in. Not just self-reporting, like, does mom say you can or do I say I can? But does it happen? When you enter a room, do you say hi to the people in it? If not, then let's try that again. Let's give that another shot. Let's practice. And so it takes about 24 months. You'll notice in the middle, months 6 to 12, that's when we jump into strategic job search. We're not really jumping right into employment. Unless a candidate's ready, you'll hear a story that I want to tell you later about a young man. We're calling him David. And he came in ready to jump right into career, but oftentimes that doesn't really happen. You have to, if you're only used to working part-time and now all of a sudden you have to compete with the rigor, or you have to maintain the rigor of a 40-hour work week, we're not there yet. And so we might take 2 to 3 months in readiness, just getting those skills practiced and getting you to a point where our agency can endorse you as a candidate for employment. So what were the outcomes? Phase one, starting in 2013 to now, although these numbers were probably in the end of 2019, we've worked with 54 people who have been able to work into gainful long-term employment. Now, those numbers are small intentionally. We're not talking about work experiences here. I'm not talking about placing individuals into jobs that pay $8, $10 an hour and work 20 hours a week. Those are not long-term gainful solutions. That's going to lead someone to perpetuate poverty. That's not going to move someone into self-sufficiency. So we keep it small, but we're very intentional with that. And my favorite part about this is, look at all the different areas: banking, biomedical engineering, culinary arts, early childhood education, hospitality, logistics, library science, marketing, nursing. We're not telling clients, here are your options. You can pick from these three things, and these are the vocations, that skills that we're going to train you in, and then we're going to move you into fields in this, move you into careers in those fields. A Jewish Family Services Columbus, as an agency, has 2,000 plus business partners in this community that we endorse candidates for. Our MACs are no different. When I know that I have a client, a MACs candidate who's ready for employment, I move them in to work with our career counselors. There are career consultants, the same as any other client who moves through our agency. We put almost 700 people to work last year. Maxers are just a part of that. So what happened in 2018, 2019? Was a pretty small amount of clients because we were strategic with making programmatic changes, which I'm getting ready to tell you about. But if you'll notice, 25 of the 25 people we worked with gained employment. And they're making $16 an average an hour. We wouldn't think that anything less than that is good enough. Not looking to have more work experiences for people with disabilities. There's a lot of opportunity for that. What there isn't a lot of opportunity for is for real, true economic inclusion. Participating at the same level as your peers. 40 an hour work week. Benefited positions. Once you hit a certain age, mom and dad can't have you on your insurance anymore. That's a big question for a lot of my clients.
There's a question here. I ask you?
Please.
What? Wait.
Yeah, should we wait till after?
Okay. You want to wait till after? That's fine.
That's great. Okay. So it works. We've established that it's effective. We've had about 5-6 years of effective track record now. Now what do we do? This brings us into phase two. This is the sustaining and growth piece. Now, how do we scale it? How do we take this from a model who serves 8-10 people at once, or just works within the Jewish community, or just works within Columbus? I mean, like I said, we've already contracted with Franklin County Children's Services to serve youth emancipated from foster care. So we know it works here. How do we scale it? So we met with a business consultant, and we came up with what's called a business canvas model. And I don't know if anyone is familiar with those. If not, familiarize yourself. I will let you see mine. No big deal. They're very effective, but it's a way of breaking down your service in rather than in a in a very quantified way. How do we come up with value for the time that we spend with people? Because what this led us to be able to do is come up with a new revenue structure. And for the first time, we are legitimately charging clients. I'll say it's a steal for the value, but I mean, it's a hefty amount. It's definitely not, it's not a free for service anymore. It's a fee for service. And like I said, it's a 2-year commitment, but we've been able to really move into making that model a reality. And what all that kind of went with. So we decided it would be fee for service to people who qualify. We also decided that we would be able to provide some scholarships because not everyone can afford $6,000 a year. I mean, it's a good $500 a month to work with Max. And that's not including the assessment. We do have options for scholarship for individuals who are members of the Columbus Jewish community. And we also have a Max grad option, because this is the question we're getting now is, what happens when it's over? What happens when my 24 months is up? We also had clients who were getting a service for free who all of a sudden had to pay. So we had to come up with a way to kind of justify that change for them and to still make Max accessible to them, but without sacrificing, you know, the values that what we were moving toward as an agency. So we spent the entire year of 2019 researching and testing this, trying out these new models, coming up with the infrastructure for it. I mean, coming up with the service agreements, coming up with the contracts, coming up with the releases, all of the operational administrative stuff. We had to do all that work. And then we had to implement it. So we actually had to research and test this. Surveying current clients, reaching out to other agencies, seeing who else is doing this in the area, what their, you know, highs and lows are. And so we learned a lot. We learned a lot. What we learned the most was, and this is probably not going to come as a surprise to anyone who works in the disabilities community. This did not come as a surprise for me. It's not going to surprise you. These young adults fall off the cliff when they turn 22. Raise your hand if that surprises you at all. No, see? Exactly, right? Shake your head. No. The disability stays, but the programming is gone. And if it's happening in Columbus, it's happening in your city. If it's happening in your city, it's happening internationally. I'm looking at someone from Montreal shaking her head. It's happening everywhere, right? And so how do we meet that gap? And that has been a big shift for our agency, because prior to this last year, we were taking anyone who wanted help reaching self-sufficiency, whether they were 18, 19, 20, 21, 26, up to 35. We've really been able to target that 23, 24, 25, 26, even up to 28 age group. That's the sweet spot, because parents and clients alike are searching, even if they've had waiver support to that point, even if they've had, you know, whatever the Medicaid options are in your state. When you get to that certain age, it is dwindled down. You have your option of, you know, work experience sites and struggle with long-term employment. You get a lot of part-time. What happens to your benefits? Those types of things. So we really started to establish feeder programs and have these conversations with other members of our community who are serving these populations. Who else is addressing this issue? How are you doing it? And how do we work together? And that's really what we spent most of the last year doing, is establishing these feeder programs. So this takes us to phase three, which are our next steps. What does it look like moving on down the road? We've been very fortunate to develop, like I said, we've got 2,000 business partners we work with as an agency. We've been really lucky to develop some really close business partnerships that want to have a more inclusive workforce that don't want to name it things like autism to work or, you know, Project Search is a great one. I'm not trying to down it, but I'm just saying we're really looking for things that are more economically inclusive. So we partnered with Huntington Bank, and one of their VPs of human resources is really passionate about this topic. And we use this relationship to endorse clients, just how we would any other client that comes to this agency. Ohio Health is another company we've been able to do that with. Autocon is another company we've been able to do that with. People are, Nationwide Children's is on the agenda for a conversation next month. I mean, these people are, companies are really interested in diversifying their workforce. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to do it in new and innovative ways. We don't send a job coach with someone. I've never done that ever. All of the job coaching I do is virtual. I wouldn't even put someone into job search if I felt like they needed a job coach with them. Not to say I haven't referred clients out to job coaching agencies. It's just not how we do supported employment. So continuing as part of that phase three, continuing to build that referral pipeline, partnering with other agencies. Like right now, we've got a great partnership with OSU. They have a program, or the Ohio State University, I should say. They have a program for young adults 22 and over who want to join the workforce, but it's an 8-week program. And they're a Nice Saunders Center does neurology studies. What do they know about workforce? So they've partnered, and they're the first person to admit that. They're like, this is not our wheelhouse, help JFS. So we've been able to partner with them to try and see what we can do kind of as like a pre, they're like the prerequisite, and then we can move these people into more long-term gainful employment. So I'm going to tell you David's story. David's a young adult, and he started working with Jewish Family Services a year ago, which it feels like so much longer, but it's only been a year. He was 25. He did have an undergraduate degree in theater, by the way, which is really hard to parlay into long-term gainful employment. Those of you considering investing in a theater degree, yeah, so conversations I did not have with his parents at the time. So he was really discouraged. He was our first full fee client. They're members of the Jewish community. They really needed help. They came to us and they were like, look, he's got an undergrad degree. He had support all through school. He's working maybe 10 hours a week and he's still on our insurance and he's still living in our house. And we're just seeing nothing but regression because it had been now 3 years since his graduation. So he had this degree and has been in job search working 10 hours a week for 3 years, living with mom and dad. So within the first 6 months, we immediately started to get that, increase that behavior momentum. We've got to move from $10 hours a week to 30 hours a week. So what jobs can we apply for? How do we get work experiences? How do we incorporate volunteer skills? I spent a few weeks with him in readiness, maybe a month during the assessment, maybe 2 to 3 weeks in readiness. He jumped right into career, and I paired him with a career consultant who happens to be Tim. You want to give us a wave? Tim's right there. I'm talking about him while he's sitting right next to me. And they started working together, as he would with any other client that comes into this agency, on strategic job search. What does a strategic job search look like? How do I gear my resume for that? How do I really make these resumes I'm sending out stick? How do I get the interviews? How do I increase my time worked? So really within about 6 months, he was up to working 30 hours a week, if not longer. In that amount of time, he moved out, got his own apartment, because once he's earning enough money, he can keep a roof over his head. He can pay bills. He can sustain himself in that way. So he started moving. He moved out, got his own place. In September, he started applying for positions within Huntington Bank as part of that project I was speaking of earlier. Took a few months, as you'll see, September to November, but by November he was hired. They put him through the ringer. And I'm really glad he had Tim to work with on that. And it goes to show why we don't start people into job search until they're ready, because that doing that strategic job search and interviewing at that corporate level is really grueling. And it took a lot of emotional regulation and flexibility on David's part. He landed the job. It's full-time benefited position with Huntington Bank. He's a process specialist there. now. He is 3 months into his job. He loves it. No, he's filing taxes for his first time. He's making $16 an hour. He's not living with his parents. He has his own insurance, and it hasn't even been a year. And he's loving his job. He's grown a beard. Now he's looking very mature. He does this when he's talking. He's just all grown up now. But Tim and I met with him last week as part of the intentional retention curriculum, and we were delighted to find out that he is so trusted at Huntington Bank. He works, like I said, he's a process specialist. So he handles all of the incoming mail and parcel deliveries to the corporate franchises at two different Columbus locations. It's like the major corporate franchises. And he does, in a company car with a company credit card, does transfers to, from different locations. And he's so trusted and so reliable that, like, he's their go-to guy. He's next in line to train the newest hire. So it's a really good fit for him. And it was an amazing success story. It was not an easy road to hoe. I know I'm telling it kind of concisely, but it was a lot of work that we did in that year, but it was a lot of progress that he made just by applying the science. And then this is just a little snapshot of what Max looks like in action. I talked to you about natural environment teaching. This is our friend David participating in some of the workshops that we have here, doing job search, doing interview prep. You'll see a picture of us across the street working on, this young lady has a really hard time, she's got some executive functioning symptoms, and with that comes a lot of issues with sleeping, and so we were really trying to get some evening workouts in and get tired so we can start to establish a more regulated sleep-wake pattern for her, which is super common with executive functioning. So that's kind of a little bit about what Max looks like. That brings me to the end of the formal part of the presentation, so I'm going to stop the share. And then hopefully that'll bring us back to the camera. Oh, here we all are.
And I unmuted everyone.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so if anyone has any questions that you want to ask me about, yeah, it worked.
Let me start with the questions that got typed into the chat box, Angela.
Yeah, we've got six. I can open them.
Okay, so you start with the one from Aaron. You want to read that out loud and then answer that?
Yeah. Aaron, I find that PWD
people with disabilities
are often, thank you, are often, in my view, are held to a higher standard with social skills and workplace etiquette. Yes, I could not agree more, Aaron, and it is very annoying. They're also over infantilized, if you want to ask my opinion on that. God forbid you have a bad day if you have a disability. You must be cheery all the time. Not at JFNA. Yes, I agree. Jewish communal service is really different in that respect, but I completely agree with you. I feel like I've gotten more scrutiny than my able-bodied colleagues. You already feel pressure not to screw up. Do your maxers feel this? Am I off base? You're not at all off base. Yes, they feel this all the time. The guy, David, I was just telling you about, he's like, I'm scared to ask my colleagues questions. I'm afraid, what if it comes off wrong? What if I say it wrong? And I was like, so Lydia sits next to me, and she's my counterpart, Lydia. How many questions a day do I ask you? A million. Yes, a million questions. But he felt like that was a double standard for him. Because what if he doesn't say it right? What if he doesn't?
Can I just say something really quick?
Yeah, please.
Because in my previous jobs and things like that, I often was the first person hired with a disability, and that was a tremendous honor, but also a tremendous burden.
You're the token.
And also, I just want to point out to the people here that you also feel some pressure because of the fact that they won't hire somebody with a disability if I screw up, but also there's that cheery expectation that Angela was talking about. I was talking to a colleague at a previous job, and he said to me, he meant it nicely, but I never forgot what he said. He said, Aaron, I really like you because I've been in this business 30 years, and most people with disabilities are militant and angry, but you're so nice, and you have a great sense of humor, and you're diplomatic. It sounds pompous, but I was I'm just recounting the story. So I just think it's important to point out that, and one other colleague said, well, until you came, I didn't know the difference between cystic fibrosis and cerebral palsy, which you had. So there's a lot of added pressure. You have to educate and live up to a standard that people have created. That's all.
I feel like a lot of minority groups can probably relate to that. We had a cultural humility workshop here at the office, and a doctor, professor of social work, was talking about that. He said he told a story about how he met three different criteria for minorities in his on a job, and they were like, "Yeah, you're a triple score or something." Yeah, people mean it nicely, but I think a lot of minority groups, no people with disabilities included, can relate to that statement. Okay, curious as to why you mentioned. I have to move on because I love this question. I get it all the time. Curious as to why at Max you mentioned you don't send people with job coaches, because we don't need to. The clients we serve can function on their job with the endorsement that we give them in the setting that they're in without a job coach.
But you said you do virtual job coaching.
I do. We do virtual job coaching. Absolutely. I make myself available to clients. I'll tell you a quick story. We had a mid-20s, got a job, first job ever, actually, with an undergraduate degree, and he had to clock in day one. And he's on the autism spectrum. And he gets to the job, and he's super anxious. He had forgotten how to clock in. He'd learned a lot during his HR days, and he forgot how to clock in. So he shot me a text, and he's like, "Oh my God, I'm kind of freaking out." Like, he's like having his panic. And I'm like, "Well, why don't you just call me?" So he FaceTimes me, and I just two-stepped him through it, and that was it. And he clocked in, and that was that. We didn't need a job coach. We didn't need someone next to him all day. Now, that being said, Max works with clients who, one, can self-transport, two, mostly have undergraduate degrees, either associate or bachelor's, or want to do some type of skill training. If, like I said, I have referred, don't get me wrong, job coaching is a wonderful vocation, and it definitely has its place within the disabilities world. If a client comes to me and wants to work with Max, and I feel like this person may indefinitely require a job coach, I would refer them to a different program. That's just not what we do here. Our job coaching is virtual. It's intentional retention curriculum. It's activities that we work with outside of being on the job. So it's not just that we don't provide your standard, you know, job coach next to you on site. We do provide job coaching, but we also specifically don't work with a client who would always need that. Because there are individuals with disabilities who can participate in the workforce with a job coach. I will say, though, most models, and I even have to say I sat on a panel just a few months ago, and at the lovely little bakery here, I won't say their name, but they're a lovely little bakery here in Columbus, Ohio, and they employ people on the autism spectrum. And it's their shtick, you know, it's like, it's a good thing, we employ people with autism, we're gluten-free, come have some bakery. And that's great. I'm like, it's a small business model. I'm all about small business. You guys are jumping in. How much do you pay your employees? So that was my question. Just curious. Their response is, well, which employees?
Oh.
Well, what kind of employees do you have? How many employees do you have? Well, we have our employees, and then we have our support staff. So who she was talking about were the people with disabilities and the job coaches. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, how much do you pay them? Well, we pay our employees $8 an hour, but our job coaches get $14. And so, you know, of course, I'm just like, that's congrats. Good job. Way to go. That is not something that our agency would participate in. We, like I said, we're about economic inclusion. If you have employees, everyone needs to be making the same standard amount, or at least relative to their peers. I'm not saying that they don't have different fee structures in different agencies, but relative to their peers. So to pay a job coach twice what you're paying the person that they're there to be helping into employment, I have a hard time reconciling that. Okay, would you mind sharing the fee structure? an eligibility criteria. Okay, fee structure is $750 for a 6-week assessment. At the end of that 6-week assessment, we decide what the next steps are. If that person is ready to jump into MAX, then we have that conversation as to what the next 24 months would look like. If after 6 weeks, you're not going to be a good fit, and I can tell you're not going to be a good fit, maybe you're not self-transporting yet, maybe you still need to be supervised during the day, maybe we don't have the organizational structure kind of skills yet, I might refer to other programs. What's been kind of coming up with that is if they're not a good fit for MAX, they still want to work with our agency on a consult basis. And so that's something that we're kind of open up to now. But if a person does want to enroll in MAX after their 6-week assessment is up, it's $6,000 a year for 2 years. So it's $12,000, which I happen to think is a steal, but it wouldn't let me charge $1 million.
So people have to have money, though, in order to
do it. Well, and I think that goes back to your, it goes back to your community. It goes back to who your target audience is. And this goes back to that business model that we came up with. So just to take Max out of this for a minute. I'm a private yoga instructor. I've got a studio in my home. I've been slinging yoga lessons for 15 years, right? Where I lived prior to here, I could make probably $50 an hour for private lessons. In Columbus, it would be outside of the norm to charge less than like $200.
Wow.
That's the market value of where we are. So this went back to that program development model is, I'm not going to, you have to be familiar with your audience. So is that price going to be what the bottom line that works for everybody? Not necessarily. That's why I would recommend everybody do this program, the business canvas model. And that's something we sat down with an outside consultant and we worked with our executive and our CFO. That wasn't something I just came up with. That was a decision that agency-wide we had to make.
So,
and they will help you come up with your value. Like, you really learn how to monetize the hours that are spent with clients. Right. And so I feel comfortable when I explain, like, I'll email this to Lisa, who can get it to the group. We have a flyer that goes through the fee structure and what every month you, or, you know, like what every phase is and what you can assume that what you'll be getting for that amount of time. That way you're confident having that conversation with someone. I feel perfectly confident asking for that sum because one, it's consistent with the market here. And two, I know the value of what you're getting.
Right.
You know, so, I don't, yeah, please.
So I'm just wondering if other people on this call have similar programs or think that it would even, that you could do something like this in your own communities. Because this is a real structured program where you work with a small amount of people and you're charging money. I mean, what do people think when they've heard this? Sheila? Are you trying to talk?
I got a question.
Oh, okay.
I got a question from Sheila in the chat box.
Okay. So I guess you can answer that. But does anyone, and Lydia asked a question too. But does anyone think that they could do this in their own communities? You shake your head, you know. No. Okay.
Well, not to waste an hour of your time.
No, it's interesting.
Are you guys going to start throwing tomatoes?
I think charging money is always an issue for social service agencies. Right?
Yeah, so what happens is that, and I'm just going to be real brief on this because it's outside of my department. But when you have unrestricted capital as an agency, our board determines what happens with that. And typically it goes back into our employees in lieu, like by way of pay raise, staff wide, or our 401k. So it doesn't.
But the model's not crazy because if you're giving somebody a lifetime of employment,
uh-huh.
The investment of 12 grand versus a lifetime on Social Security, et cetera, is actually, I agree, a small one. I think that, the whole concept of
monetizing
your value in general is a hard concept, but probably a really good one. So it's not crazy. It's just hard to wrap your head around it.
100% agree with you. And we haven't had any complaints.
Right.
Well,
haven't had to offer any refunds.
So Nanette in Chicago wrote that they are trying this model in Chicago.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Nanette, keep me posted. I can't wait to hear how it's going. Sheila asked me what qualifiers are for the program. I go through a 6-month assessment. It's at the end of that when I get to look at those 52 behaviors in the natural environment, and I get to see, where are you functioning at this time? Would I be able to get you where you need to be for gainful employment, or do we need to maybe take some other steps in the meantime? I only have one qualifier for max candidates, and it's self-transport. If mom is bringing you to your job, you're not getting the job.
Why is that?
Or at least we're not endorsing you for it.
Why is that, Angela? Why is there so much importance to weight on the self-transport?
Because it's an indicator of self-sufficiency. It's an indicator of problem solving, character flexibility, dependability. Your boss needs you to get places. You need to. You don't necessarily have to drive. You can ride a bus. You can ride a bike, Uber. You just need to be able to get yourself from place to place unsupervised. Or it's self-reliant.
So you just said like 6 different characteristics. Are they part of the 52 that you are talked about? That's not what you're good.
That's the secret sauce. I can't tell you that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can, but you'd have to ask Karen Rosenter about that.
Uh-huh. No, very interesting. So Aaron's saying, are you saying that to me privately, or do I tell it to everyone? I'm not sure.
You can tell it to everybody.
Okay, so Aaron worked as Project Search instructor, and VR paid him.
Yeah.
And then Lydia asked if the Ohio Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation funds your services.
We are not against collaborating with, what we're talking about is all CARF certified Medicaid money. So whether you're BVR, whether you're, they call it OOD here, whatever your agency acronym is, it's all Medicaid money. Is it the lowest hanging fruit for us? No, not at all. Are we ruling it out? No, not at all. Right now, we have 3 different waivers that people can qualify for under Medicaid with people with disabilities in Ohio. One is called the IO waiver, the independent option waiver. Another one is called the level 1 waiver. Those are the 2 most common ones. There is something called the self waiver that is pretty new in Ohio. Not a lot of clientele are on that waiver, although the people that qualify for that waiver would be great candidates for MAX. So we're not ruling it out that down the road we would be doing that. But I mean, we have a pretty big clinical department. We don't want to bill by 15-minute increments. Gail does our billing here.
Do you want to bill? I'm sure she doesn't.
Do you want to bill people by 15-minute increments?
No.
Administrative. So basically, the ruling on that is administratively, it's not the lowest hanging fruit. But we're not against.
Who was talking just now? Did someone have a question? I Nancy in Pittsburgh, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
So you've got a pretty robust program. What do you think about when you hear what Angela said?
So the program that we have at our agency is very different from this. Our JF&CS has programs that are probably more similar. But we work with people who do temporary assignments. And so, I mean, I would agree that those people need to be able to get themselves to the job to do the work, but our program doesn't require people to have a college degree. It's just very different. So it's hard to compare.
We don't require a high school diploma. We don't require a college diploma. We definitely require a high school diploma. It's just that tends to kind of be who we're getting as far as that age group, but we don't require a college diploma. I'm typing my email address in the chat box for anyone. I got an ask, so if anyone wants to email me.
Okay. Sue and John in Boston, anyone have anything that they want to talk about, a program that they're running that could be similar or?
Oh, wait.
What?
Canada? And Montreal pays, their government pays for supported employment services. That's cool. I'd like to hear more about that. I mean, not at this second. Okay. Right now, Sandy, spit it out. No, I'm kidding. Well,
you can tell us if you want to. I mean, if it's something you can tell us. Yeah.
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So, so it's actually over 30 years now that we're running our supported employment service here in Montreal. So it's here within OMETS, okay, and we're part of the network, but Emploi Quebec, so the provincial government pays for it. And so it's open to Jewish and non-Jewish clients, all ages. We're dealing with basically non-visible disabilities, all ages. So we can have people who are living with a mental health diagnosis. Maybe we have an older engineer who has depression, or maybe we have somebody who's aged out of one of the schools, like you were talking about earlier, who's 21 and has never had a job before. So it's a very heterogeneous population. And I was just curious about the job coaching, because we have clients with lower support needs, but we also have clients with higher support needs that wouldn't be successful without our job coaching services. So obviously, we're not there all the time because we're artificial supports. We always try to turn it over to the natural supports who are there on the job with them, but just to help even with, with the job, learning the tasks as well as the social integration. I just find it's an important piece. And what's also really nice about our service is that we follow clients indefinitely. So I have even a client.
I was going to ask you that.
I have a client that I've been following 20 years. 20 years I've been following her. She actually works in our office building. And so, obviously we're less involved than we were at the beginning, but she and the employer both know that we're just a phone call away should anything happen. And you read about the multidisciplinary approach that we have within our agency. So it's really kind of separated, the leisure, the social, budgeting, and all of that stuff.
It's cool. I'd be interested in hearing more about that.
Sure. Feel free to reach out. I guess everybody will have everybody's contact information on the emails.
Well, on the email, everyone's contact information is there. So
my pleasure.
What about Detroit or West Palm Beach or Cape May? Is that where you're from, Karen? I wasn't sure. Do you do these kinds of programs?
Do you hear me?
Yep.
Actually, Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Cherry Hill, okay.
Yeah.
Do you do any of these types of programs?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Do you do any of these types of programs, working with people, try to get them employment? People with disabilities?
Yeah. We're a DBR in Burlington and Camden counties. And we also are program.
You clicked out. You're also what program?
I'm sorry. I'm fading it. I can't really hear you.
Yeah. I guess the wireless isn't working right now. Or Wi-Fi. I don't even know.
I can chime in here from Boston if you want as well.
Okay, talk to us.
So here in Boston, at Jewish Family and Children's Service, we do have a soft skills program that kind of sounds similar-esque to what's going on there. We've been running this since 2012, I believe, at the end of the year. And we primarily work with folks who also have intellectual disabilities as well, although we do have several folks who have just developmental disabilities, but an intellectual disability as well. We also do about, 4 to 6 weeks of baseline, looking at 65 different soft skills areas, and then we create a service plan looking at goals specifically related to that person that they need to work on. It is in a group setting. We do have some folks in that program who are funded through our state funder, through the Department of Developmental Services for day programming. And we also have philanthropy to offset the cost of what those services actually cost for this very highly specialized program, as well as free care for those who don't qualify for that program as well.
Wow.
And those, I would say that are kind of, when we think about it, we think of people who could be independent working in the community, but just really need that polishing up of those soft skills to be able to really take a successful step into competitive employment. And not only, like you said, just get the job, but then keep the job once those initial job coaching supports fade. We also provide employment services, individualized supported employment services. Again, those are primarily funded through our state funder, through the Department of Developmental Services. We also have a private pay rate as well for folks in that too.
And are you calling from a Jewish Family and Children's Service Agency or the JVS in Boston?
No, we are not JVS. It's Jewish Family and Children's
Service. Jewish Family and Children, yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. It sounds like you get a lot of money from...
We do okay with services here. We're highly regulated and highly underfunded, though. So.
Yeah, isn't everyone?
Yeah, do a lot with a little bit of money.
Yeah. Stacey, are you doing anything like this in Minneapolis?
Not exactly like this. I know we get some, I think they have to go through, like, qualified from the state, and then they come in, and then we do aspects of this program, but definitely not to this extent.
Right. This is a 2-year program. It's pretty.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's in a group setting, and sometimes it's one-on-one, but it just goes back to where they are in the modules and making it a natural environment setting. What I really try to avoid is getting people in a room to teach them soft skills.
Right.
I mean, I might do it once to like do the initial instruction, but it's all about that applied practice in the natural environment.
Angela, another question then again, getting back to the funding part. So they know beforehand, like when they started, so $750 for the assessment, do they know then if they qualified everything that they would have to come up with a portion or all of the $12,000? And then does that set a barrier? Is that like some folks at that point have to bow out?
Typically I wouldn't, I'm always very upfront with those. We do have a monthly payment option. I mean, you don't have to like put $6,000 on your credit card right now. We can invoice people monthly. But that's always the maybe second conversation I have with people. I'll tell you about Max. I'll tell you about the program, but the last thing we would want to ever do is bait and switch someone.
Right.
Say, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. Let me send you a bill. No, we're very clear with that in advance. I have another engagement this evening with, I'm going to the Ohio State University to talk to a group of parents about Max. And the first thing I'm bringing is my flyer, and the next thing I'm bringing is my fee structure. I mean, that's just the way the conversation goes. And I can absolutely make referrals to people if cost is going to be a barrier. Then I can refer to other agencies. A lot of these people work really closely with OOD. OOD's Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities. It's kind of our local BVR agency. I think it used to be called that, and they've rebranded now.
Well, hold on. Stacey, you might want to read this last. You can't because it's to me. I know that Stacey's going to end it. I just want, because I'm cognizant of people's times, and I think it was a very interesting discussion, but
thank you.
Can say that. But Karen, who we couldn't hear because it was going in and out from Cherry Hill, they have at their JFCS supported employment program, and it's funded by DVR and encompasses job development, coaching, and long-term following along, which includes assisting clients with soft skills needed to keep the job. They also have partnered with a bank on financial literacy training to help foster independence.
Great.
Yeah, so people are doing a lot of the same kinds of things, but perhaps not the 24 structured curriculum that you have. But listen, if anyone wants to share any of their resources, please send them to me and I'll upload them to the resource library so that you can have them and going forward. So that's always an option.
Yeah. And thank you so much, Angela. Really informative. And thank you for also giving us your contact information. And everyone, please reach out with more questions, wants more information. Thank you so much for reaching this population. It sounds like a terrific program. And save the date for the next upcoming Disabilities Affinity Group conversation, and all of the rest of the ones for the next through next year are on the second Tuesday of the month at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and our next one is on Tuesday, April 14th.
So that'll be great. If anyone has anything they'd like to talk about, they want to have a program, they want to share, you know, please reach out, let us know. If they have a special topic that you all think that would be good for us to bring someone in from outside the field that you could learn something, just let us know. Yep. And we'll do our best to get them, right? Yep. Because your group, Stacy and I want it to be what you want, and we want you to feel it's value added. So we're here for you. So use us, right?
Yep. Reach out to Send us your ideas and topics. We'd love it.
Okay. And Tammy just said that they have, she just wrote, Tammy from West Palm Beach, she helps assist by connecting clients to vocational rehab, Career Source, Goodwill, and other local vendors, and hosts a free workshop for the community explaining the process. They had IT difficulties too. Thank you all, and thank
Pervasive
you.
Pervasive today.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Adios.
Bye.
Did you want to stay on, Stacy?
Yeah, I'll stay on for a minute. Okay. Everyone else is.